We're just going to do this. I have no idea. But it's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Friday morning. It is where I am. It's 11. Well, where is it? It's 9:07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mountain Standard Time. Mountain Time. It is 11:08 now. I fumbled through that whole entire thing. It's 11:08 Eastern Standard Time. I am in El Paso, Texas, right now, where the border is secure. But I have no doubt that there's very little happening here with border crossings. I have quite a day ahead of me. I'm going to be going through Dallas. I'll end up in Fayetteville, Arkansas tonight. So I'll be in Fayetteville tomorrow. I'm not going to be in Fayetteville very long tomorrow. I'm not sure I'm going to have time for a show. Well, tomorrow's Saturday. Tomorrow's Saturday. I will not have a show on tomorrow. It's Saturday. That's the way that works. So don't worry about where I'll be. Don't worry about that. I will be back on Monday. I had promised I would have some stuff about some audio for you today. Because of the nature of the way this is set up, I ended up plugging in my other microphone to make the sound quality a little bit better, which I hope that it is. I hope you can tell that the sound quality is a little bit better, at least. And right now I'm unable to play anything in the background unless I play it on my phone. And when I play audio on my phone, it's a little harder to manage files and do those kinds of things with the phone, try to get multiple takes done. So what I'm going to do is compile things into a better format for Monday. And I'll be able to play some things on Monday. Of course, Monday's always a mishmash deal. And depending, barring any major other things that happen over the weekend or anything else that's just dramatic that needs to be covered, I'll be talking about some of the statements that Pritzker has made, some of the statements that some of the politicians in the political realm have made here recently, some things that Bernie Sanders now has said, also some things that Hakeem Jeffries has said, which has been extremely troubling. The rhetoric that's coming from the left is just, it's over the top. Now, I would almost venture to say that the shutdown will cease to exist next week. My understanding is the House now, that one of the biggest problems that they have right now is if they do pass this continuing resolution, it only lasts until November. It's all less than a month away. So it's only going to last a few weeks. And the whole idea of the continuing resolution was to make it possible to negotiate. Now, if the Democrats want to double down on this, they will continue to keep this thing going because they're idiots. They're completely out of their minds. They've lost the public sentiment on this. In fact, the gaining ground is that they're understanding more and more that the left is the one. They're the ones that are shutting the government down. And it's almost become a joke now. I think Chuck Schumer was actually speaking in front of some people, in front of a crowd of people, and he said something about the Republicans having the government shut down. Everybody actually laughed at him about it. That like the entire crowd laughed about it. Now, the main thing that you have to keep in mind and that you want to remember is what is in my cup. What I have in my cup right now is chai with just regular creamer. I think it's half and half. And I brought it along with me, my regular chai. I also have some Chick-fil-A sweet tea that I purchased yesterday before the trip, and I put it in my thermos. It's kind of interesting because the first cup I had of sweet tea was pretty good. And then I went back to fill it up. I was actually at the restaurant when I had my sandwich and went to fill it up. And it was actually, the strange thing about it was that how it ended up being, it was almost kind of an older tea taste. So I'm not sure what happened there because it was came from the same place. I don't know. But it does taste okay this morning. So it's all right. So I'm drinking Chick-fil-A sweet tea, which I will be going to a Chick-fil-A again today, I think. couple other places I could go eat, but I think I'm going to go to the Chick-fil-A at this point and see what happens. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk about. Of course, yesterday I spoke a little bit about the what's going on with the Democrat Party and how the crazy people have taken over the inmates have taken over the asylum kind of thing. The struggle that I think that the left is having right now, I think what's going to end up pushing through here is their rhetoric has continued to increase. One of the things that is a little bit troubling is the what's happening with people like Gavin Newsom, some others, some of the things that they're saying. It blows my mind, yes, that they're saying the things that they're saying, and it's continuing to ramp up the rhetoric. And of course, they just continue to vilify Trump, and it's the party of anti-Trump. It's all they are. They have no vision. They have nothing else. And one of the things that they've been saying is that, of course, they've been getting caught in their own rhetoric because actual reporters and some journalists that have accidentally asked them some questions that they probably shouldn't have. Things like, why are you doing what you're doing, and what's going on, and what's happening, and they're actually starting to reinforce this idea that the Democrats actually are against any kind of legitimate lawful enforcement. I'm not sure what their gain is here, other than just their fact that they're just crazy. Of course, the ballroom is a big deal. They're still coming out, all talking about how this is, they're Obama put in a basketball court. Obama spent over $300 million in renovations in his 8 years there at the White House, and I guarantee you, he didn't pay for that. That was paid for by taxpayers. That was paid for by tax money. You can tell people, and this is what the weird thing is online. I saw this one, somebody posted about, Trump's ballroom and asked people what they thought about it. And in the posting, it said that he's paying for it out of his own pocket or out of, it's not just his money. There's other people who are making personal donations. It's private funding, basically, what it amounts to. But I think the bulk of it is actually coming from Trump. He's doing this whole thing, and he's doing it out just because he wants to make, of course, he wants to have something he can put his name on. But he also is doing it for the American people. He knows he's not going to be around forever, but he wants to have something there that's going to last. And I wouldn't be surprised if the next administration tears it down just out of spite and uses taxpayer money to do it. Takes it back to the way it was because, that's better. I'm sure they'll change the name of it. I'm sure it'll be considered to be the Trump Ballroom, and he will probably, most likely, the next person, the next Democrat that gets into office is going to change the name of it, or Congress is going to change the name of it. Who knows what's going to happen with it? Now, it falls under the executive branch to do whatever he wants to do. That is basically his, not his property, but it's his falls under his jurisdiction to do whatever he wants to with it. Now, of course, normally Congress would approve funding for whatever they're going to do, like they did under the Obama administration. Of course, under Biden, they didn't do any changes because they didn't want to, confuse Joe. So they didn't want him getting lost someplace on some construction site. So they couldn't do anything with it then. Now, Obama did all kinds of things in renovations. So here Trump is doing this thing, paying for it basically himself, and you still have people coming out and saying taxpayers are doing this. Whoopi Goldberg, Whoopi Goldberg. She comes out and talks about how she's this would be like her going down to Trump Tower and saying she's going to put in a disco. Okay, are you going to pay for it? Are you paying for the disco? That the plan? Just the oddness of everything about the way they act on the left. Sunny Hostin, by the way, or Houston, whatever her name is. She's really sharp. She came out the other day and said something about her. She has told she lives in a white neighborhood, and she is so concerned about the racism in her neighborhood that she went to the police officers and she went to the police department and told the police, she said, "This is my son. He's training for the Junior Olympics. I'm sure he'll do fine. He's training for the Junior Olympics. He's going to be out running in the neighborhood, jogging in the neighborhood," and she wanted to make sure the police knew that he belongs in the neighborhood and that's her son, and don't harass him, don't stop him, don't. I don't care what color your skin is. Police officer wants to ask you what you're doing in the neighborhood. They have every right to do that. That's not harassment. You don't have to answer them, and they have to let you go on your way. Can't detain you for any, but they certainly have the right to ask you what you're doing there. White or black, whatever you are. In fact, it's being there's people compiling all kinds of statistics now based on racial bias and discrimination, and finding out that white men are absolutely the most discriminated against in the nation on all kinds of levels. Of course, that's supposed to be okay because we have white privilege, right? So that's what that's all about. So we're the privileged ones. So we have this. You know, so Sonny comes out and makes this statement. Of course, the first question you have to ask is, "Why are you living in such a why are you living in a white neighborhood where all the racism is?" I'm sure he wouldn't get harassed if you were living in a black neighborhood. He's out running around. Now, most likely, she's living in a white neighborhood because guess what? Statistically, crime statistics are lower. Has nothing to do with skin color, has everything to do with culture. Cash Jordan, he's got this channel. He does an awesome job of, he's an actual journalist. He gets out on the streets and he goes all over the place, a lot of these places, and he collects all kinds of footage, security footage from stores that have been robbed, all kinds of things that are happening. There's this the rampant rioting and looting and stuff that's going on, and he talks about, you know, what's happening in cities around the country, especially the sanctuary cities. He used to just go around and just basically document, kind of do these mini macro documentaries on things that were happening around the nation, cities that were happening, stuff that was happening in cities, with regard to political funding and those kinds of things, and things that were actually happening with construction projects, that kind of thing. And now he's become much more understanding, or much more giving much more exposure to what's going on with the immigrant crisis and crime crisis and everything else. And one of the things that he's talking about is the sanctuary cities. There's some out in, I think it's in LA. There's areas right now where there's just these gangs. They come in, they'll back a car into a jewelry store and open up the front end, of course, the bash it in. And then the next thing you see is like 10, 15, 20 people coming in, all dressed in black, hoods on, look like Antifa type, you know, all the hoodie thing with face covered up, coming in and just bashing all of the showcases, bashing up everything, and taking everything, just completely wiping everything out. And this is happening in stores all over the place. There was another deal where they just happened to be driving a car full of these guys, all dressed the same way. It wasn't just a random thing. They were on their way to do something, probably. Just stopped the car, got out, and accosted a guy who was walking down the street, took everything, took his necklace, took his jewelry, his phone, everything, took everything away from him, beat him down, and then got back in the car and took off again. I don't know if they were out prowling around looking for this kind of thing, or if they were on their way to another robbery looking for a store to hit. And they're very sophisticated. They'll have people watching, be talking on walkie-talkies. They'll be busting into people's homes, doing the same thing, three or four people at a time, breaking into a person's home, taking everything out. And of course, they're talking to a watch person out front. One of the cases that he documented was he had, this guy had, his wife had just left the house, and they apparently assumed that he wasn't there. And of course, he was there. He was on a Zoom call doing something. And of course, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, there's like four or five guys busting into the house, coming in to take things. And of course, they'd already been looking in the windows, knew what they were going to grab. It's kind of a bash and grab type thing. And of course, he's they figure out that he's in there, and he's, you know, he's yelling, "Not call 911 on the Zoom call." I was on the Zoom call, and he calls. I think he calls 911 on his own as well. But it's on and on and on. You can't tell somebody else on a Zoom call to call 911 for you, because if you want to call 911 from a local phone or from your phone that you're on, they have a location services. They can figure out where you are. If you tell somebody else to call you, they got to explain where you are, and they got to figure that out. Somebody has to know your address. I guarantee you, most of the people I talk to on Zoom calls are, you know, people across the country, and I'm doing it for work or whatever I'm doing. They usually aren't in my area, and they have no idea what my address is. I could be able to tell the police where to go. I don't know if he was just yelling it for the purpose of, probably just yelling just for the sake of, you know, letting people know that he's there. Very strange stuff. And it's this on and on. This is where we're at with society, is that they're coming very bold. This is middle of the day. This isn't middle of the night stuff. This is middle of the day. They're doing this stuff. And of course, they have their faces all covered up before this, because they know there's security cameras everywhere nowadays. But it's, yeah, I want to get back to the whole thing about the government shutdown. The Schumer now has they're starting to have to admit that they are the ones that are stopping this. People are getting more and more informed. Of course, the left, the reactions from people, just like this whole ballroom thing. This guy who posted the thing on Facebook, and my wife had sent me a posting, actually, that happened. It was just kind of a good example of what happens here. So he asked the question, "What do you think about the ballroom?" Of course, some people are saying it's okay. You know, other people are saying it's, you know, this is taxpayer money. It's it's just Trump's ballroom. He's making a big deal out of it. He's just mobilizing the ball. They don't like it because it's Trump. If it had been Obama, it would have been the most beautiful thing on the planet. It's just partisan Trump derangement syndrome reaction. Because it's Trump, you know, because of Orange Man, it has to be bad. And so that's what it's all about. It amazes me that there are people jumping back on it saying, "Well, it's tax dollars. He's spending all his tax money on that while the government's shut down." No, he said it three times, and people were still reacting with this idea that it was taxpayer money going into this thing. And they couldn't get beyond that argument, because they just weren't paying attention. They were just livid, cross-eyed, not able to even read, because they were just so out of touch, just so completely. It amazes me how that happens. Now, what's happening with this? Just like what's happening with ICE. Not sure where that noise came from. So it's like what's happening with ICE. What's happening is you have a situation where politicians are not. So here's how it all goes down. So they have sanctuary cities. They have places where illegal immigrants can go in. So they live in these areas, even crime states or crime cities and sanctuary cities where people can supposedly where they have, you know, fair justice systems where they have, you know, no bail or no cash bail, that kind of thing, where they just have a revolving door. This is why you see these people who have been in and out of prison 8, 9, 10 times. Or sometimes in some cases almost 20 times, and then they end up committing a murder, and they, you know, "Oh, well, gee, that person, you know, gee, what, look what happened there." Like this case where you had this guy down in, it was the Florida accident. There's also one that happened in California just recently. It's horrific. It is terrible. This guy driving down the highway didn't even slow down. There was a situation where there was a truck, I think it was off to the side of the road, like a tire truck, you know, fixing something was going on with the tire, with a vehicle on the side of the road. The traffic had slowed down. There were some people, I think the lane had come to a complete stop that he was in. He didn't stop. He didn't slow down. He just came plowing in through several cars, went off to the side, ended up plowing into the truck that was getting tire service done, and I think even hit the tire truck. My understanding is three people were killed almost instantly, and there was four others that were seriously injured, and so some other injuries as well, let alone the damage that was done to all these vehicles and everything else that was happening. He's been convicted of vehicular manslaughter. Now, my understanding is he's out on bail. He was out on bail initially. He was released initially. I think that he is in custody now. I think the guy who did the accident in Florida, by the way, I think is out. He's been released on his own cognizance or whatever. I think. I'm not positive about that either. I know Florida has a little bit different crime laws down there, except for Broward County. But there's a lot of other places that they're doing this. So it's this is the kind of thing where you got these sanctuary cities. So you have these things where they're just out of the compassion of their hearts. They're just allowing people to just, well, we don't want to incarcerate these people and put them in prison. They just need a chance. They just need to get their feet back on the ground and give them a second chance or third or 12th or 16th or whatever it is. These people are serial criminals. They just continue to do what they're doing. And so you have the situation now here where these sanctuary cities, they harbor and abed illegal immigrants. Some of them have committed crimes. Now, people keep saying, well, he said he was going to go after the people who were committing crimes, the criminals. He's going to get those. He was going to deport the criminals. No, he didn't. He said that's what they're going to work on first. But Trump did say he's going to round them all up and kick them out. Round them all up and just boot them out. You have a chance to go out, come back in the right way, and we'll even pay you. We'll give you $1,000 and your trip to wherever you want to go, basically, your country of your choice. But you can't tell you where to go, but you can't stay here, kind of thing. And we will pay you $1,000, and you will have an opportunity to come back in the right way, to get in line and do things the right way. There's people who have been living here for 20 years. And the problem with this is, if they leave the country, they can't necessarily get, they'd have to sneak back in if they were going to. This one guy's talking about leaving his family, he has to leave his family, he's going to have to start a new life, he's going to have to go back to another country, he doesn't know anybody anymore, and he's going to. This is terrible. You know, he came here 20 years ago, and he's got a job. They find somebody, they cherry pick somebody like this, who's out there working, probably I'm sure it's not his own social security number. He's probably got a fake social security number he's working off of. But he's got to leave the country now. He's going to be deported. He's got a wife and a couple kids. He was married here in the U.S. But the whole process is so screwy because now he has to leave this country, go back to his country where he's actually a citizen, and he can't just sneak across the border necessarily to go home either. That's kind of difficult to do because you've got to try to get into the country that you snuck out of. He has to sneak back into his home country. But the whole time there's a self-deportation system. So the problem is he would have to leave, and then he would have to. But he could take his whole family with him. Why can't his family just go with him? He'd be separated from his family. It's the weirdest thing. And of course, now his wife could go down there. They could get married down in Mexico or wherever it's he's from, South America, wherever they're from. She could come down, visit there for a week, get married down there, have a legal marriage down there, and start the process. Just do that. It's just the craziness of the whole thing is. Of course, then there's the green card, the worker program. There's all kinds of things he could do to come here and live. He's just not being exiled, or he wouldn't have had to just been exiled. But the problem was he just kept going and kept going and kept going with this whole thing. Just like this, there was actually a police officer that was an illegal alien, I think working for Minnesota. Maybe I'm thinking of the school superintendent that was there. There was a police officer somewhere that was actually given a badge and a gun, was an illegal alien. So the problem is you have these sanctuary cities where this fosters this idea. Of course, then the politicians start to push back and say, ICE isn't welcome here. We're going to fight back. They're a bunch of thugs. They're a bunch of Nazis. Meanwhile, you've got a candidate running for office who's a Democrat who actually has a Nazi tattoo on his body, has had it there for 20 years. And they're okay with that guy. Well, he's apologized after he got caught with it. And even the tattoo is not that big of a deal. But the bigger deal, in my opinion, is all the things he said on social media about Republicans and about just the things that he's a self-avowed communist. He's definitely down that road, and he said some vehement, violent things about people. And it's, of course, now there's the other guy. Of course, he's also come out, and these text messages that they found about him, talking about Republicans and his opponent and his opponent's wife and their children, and that's okay too. He's going to run on the ticket. He hasn't backed down from that. Recently, Stephen A. Miller is a guy who is kind of more of a leftist. I wouldn't say he's a leftist. I would say he was more of a Democrat. He's definitely on that side of the spectrum, and he. Stephen A. Smith was the guy's name. He was a sports commentator. Stephen Miller is actually the guy that's in the White House. He's the chief staff. Stephen A. Smith. Didn't mean to get that wrong. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm certainly not an expert on names and numbers. But you can call the show and let me know what you think. That'd be great if you did. 812-379-8778. Call, let me know what you think. Text the show, leave a message, whatever you want to do. Anyway, back to this point I'm trying to make. So you have these sanctuary cities, you have these politicians who ramp up the rhetoric about ICE coming in, doing their thing. So these groups come out, these paid groups, they're at least organized, at least the organizations are paid to do this. I'm sure they have some volunteers who are just out there just because they don't have anything else to do. Most of them are getting paid. They're getting free food. They're getting all kinds of things. They're out there doing their thing. They don't even know why they're out there half the time. They feel compassionate towards this situation, so they have to do this. They're out there. So they end up doxing these people. People get these ICE agents get their pictures taken. They get their then all of a sudden their families get threats, and they find out who they are and where they live. So the families get threatened. So now they're walking around with masks on because of the rhetoric of the politicians. They get no help from the police because the politicians tell the police to back down and tell them not to go and help the ICE agents. And ICE-free zones. Then when the National Guard comes in to protect the federal agents, the states fight against that. They say, well, you don't have the right to federalize the National Guard, which is a bogus idea. And of course, now the Supreme Court now has also come out to bolster that whole thing. Or even some district courts have come out and overruled some of the rulings. These judges are basically trying to tell the president what he can and can't do. They're acting as POTUS in absentia, just kind of just making rules up as they go, telling the president what his powers are, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, and all the meanwhile, they're saying that the president's an authoritarian. He's got his jackboot thugs coming in here like Nazis. So this is like Nazi Germany, and they're using the word Nazi. I mean, Pritzker is using those words. Several other politicians are using those words, and they're not backing down from that. They're doubling down on it. Of course, they're ramping up the rhetoric, and this is the whole thing about this whole thing is that they're making this again, making it more and more difficult. So now they have to bring in more troops, and now it's escalating the situation. Now you have people in the streets. Saying, you're not the only ones that are armed. We're armed too. They're threatening to fight back physically with a kinetic war here. The first people who started mentioning civil war were people like Mayor Johnson from Chicago. He's the first politician that I heard him say anything about civil war starting here in his town. And now you have other politicians saying the same thing. They're the ones that are escalating this. They're the ones that are causing this problem. And here's the issue. Some of these people have gone to court lost their court cases. They've come here for asylum. They lose their case. They are then have an extradition order upon their heads. They walk out of court. And the cities, the police departments, the city mayors, whatever they are, the politicians that get involved, they allow these people to walk out of court instead of turning them over right away to ICE agents or allowing the ICE agents to be there in court to arrest them immediately right there in a controlled environment and say, okay, now you're going out, we're taking you now, and we're going to take you out of the country. You're going to be detained and they're going to be deported. Rather than doing it that way, they're letting them out, making the ICE agents chase them through the streets. I think recently there was a guy who was being chased by ICE agents trying to go after this guy. They were in pursuit, and I think the guy ended up killing somebody in the attempt to escape. And of course, they're blaming ICE for that. ICE is the one that's causing the problem here. They're the ones who are escalating things. That's what the leftists are telling us. And all the while, it's actually them making their job more difficult by not providing them with the support that they need. And then when they get the support they need from the National Guard, they're restricting them and they're pushing them back on them, and they're getting very violent with them as well. This is supposedly the group of peace. Now, there's a couple things that some women, there's one woman was being interviewed, a couple of different women have been getting interviewed in some of these protests that they've been having, the No Kings and the ICE protests and other things that are happening. This one lady just adamant that she said Charlie Kirk was a bad guy who deserved to be killed because he was a bad person. Oh, so it's just up to social decision now as to whether I consider you a bad person, therefore you deserve to die. No justice. No day in court. No, it's just you deserve to die because you're a bad person because I said you're a bad person, therefore you deserve to die. The ridiculousness of what these people are saying and how. You know, we live in a nation that basically, you know, you have, if that's the way it's going, and yet you consider him to be the fascist. He didn't want you dead. He wanted to talk to you. He wanted to have a debate with you, debate the issues. And you want him dead because you think he's a bad person. You didn't know. She even admitted that she didn't know him. Another lady was being interviewed. She sounded so nice, but Democrats need to get mean. We need to start getting mean. And then she said something about this, the person asking her the questions asked her something about Charlie Kirk, and she said, well, of course, I'm happy about him being dead. He was Hitler. We killed, you know, Hitler's dead. I'm happy about that. This is their sentiment. These people are so sorely misinformed, so sorely, what's the word? Just completely unhinged. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. And I don't know how else to explain it, but it's become a very disheartening, very disturbing decline that we're seeing in our nation. And they just feed on each other. This comes back to that the left, the party, the radicals on the left are all motivated and based, everything that they do is based on emotional reaction. Everything that they do. They have to feel like they're virtuous, that they're the ones that are in the right. This continues to go on with this, and it's self-righteousness is what it is. It is a feel-good virtue signaling. I'm feeling good about myself at the end of the day because I've been fighting injustice, and I'm fighting for the little guy, I'm fighting for the downtrodden. That's the way they feel about themselves. It has nothing to do with the facts. It has nothing to do with what's actually happening. End of the day, end of the week, and one more week left in this month, I believe, something like that. So next week I'll be back with you on Monday. Folks, God bless. Thanks again for listening. Shabbat shalom. Take care. 812-379-8778. Feel free to call the show. I'll be back on Monday. I think there is a lot of audio. God bless. Have a great rest of the weekend.